Today, it's Edwin's Monday Evening Property Rant. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Happy New Year. First rant of the year with Edwin. Hi Edwin, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I hope you're well. How are you coping with 2023 thus far?
Yeah, it feels a bit like 2022 all over again, frankly.
No, except with it's going to get pricklier, going to get wackier and prickly as far as I'm concerned. I mean, 2022, we ushered out 2022, the year of preparation, heads down, tails up. Now it's 2023, the year of the hustle, Martin. We've got to hustle. Otherwise, as we've been saying, you know, there's going to be a lot of industries that are going to shrink and a lot of industries that are going to potentially disappear altogether. Businesses for sure are going to are under a lot of stress. So hustle, you can be a white-collar worker by day and blue-collar cleaner by night.
Well, it is interesting. There's stuff I'm reading from the UK. They've had a huge closure of independent retail stores over the last few months. We're seeing the same here in Australia in my surveys too. I think a lot of people are hanging on over the Christmas period, but now with Christmas out the way, we're going to see, I think, a failure of small business retailing. And of course, some of the holiday traffic that people expected to see didn't happen for various reasons as well. So I think you're right. 2023 is going to be prickly.
Yeah, very prickly. That's why I got the cactus over here. So, it's, just to remind me that it's going to get prickly. Very, very prickly.
And so well, that's a money tree, right?
No, the money tree's on that side.
Okay, right.
The jade money tree's on that side.
The cactus is in the is behind glass.
Behind glass, exactly. only break glass under emergencies. But I'll tell you what, it is hard, Martin. But I've been talking to a number of business owners as well, as I do, is just to get, and this is just, you know, my own, from my own perspective, my own knowledge, and I've got to know a lot of the people in the mountains and different parts, different towns of the mountains and that, and talking to different businesses and that, and one of the things that the common thread in the mountains is that rents are absolutely horrendous for businesses, right? Yeah. And you know, they've got somewhat of a ceiling for residential property, but even that's slowly being shattered as well. Because there are more and more migrants moving up to the mountains. We're seeing a lot of the Indian community. We're seeing a rise in the Indian community. Talking to the property managers and real estate agents that we know in mountains, they've seen a huge increase from their perspective as well with regards to this, new faces, as they say, which is rather interesting. So I guess in a way, the mountains, the mid mountains, and the mountains are going to be could potentially move into those areas where what I talk about is the witch hat chatterers in parts of Sydney, how they break the rental ceilings, and that is by room accommodation, by effectively converting homes into room lettings and getting a lot more. I noticed Tarek brought something up with in relation to the rental arena, which you're pretty much across the board on in New Zealand, although those figures that we get from the mainstream and from those and from the portals that we obviously look into to get information, they don't pick up these room lettings, and they don't pick up these multiple income homes or homes that are basically being let out privately and through other platforms. I know there's I've had a meeting with some WeChat chatterers over last weekend, and there's something like three different platforms that are operating in Sydney that you could find accommodation, and they're all in Chinese. So unless you speak the language, you know what they are. These are rentals that are outside of domain and real estate, obviously, for obvious reasons, because the legislation won't allow the property managers to manage these properties. So there's more and more properties being rented privately, more and more properties going into that short stay accommodation, the Airbnb type of scenarios, and more real estate agencies are specialising in that. In as we were talking earlier, in relation to the to the touristy spots, and also in the city. But Dusty and I, well, more Dusty than I, we've made a she made a burnt offering to the property gods, Martin.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive. It looks as though it was quite well done.
Well, look, it's almost bought the bloody the barbecue of the new studio that we just finished building for down. But look, she said it was a sacrifice to the property gods for good fortune in 2023. I must say that, with a bit of chimichurri and some smashed potato, as she calls it, and some mashed potato on the side, it didn't taste too bad.
Yeah, that's right. And it's the year of the rabbit now coming up in China, right?
Look, it is the year of the rabbit, and it's the perilous rabbit. It's a very sickly looking rabbit. If the people that follow me on Twitter, they would have seen the post and what the WeChat chatterers in mainland China are saying. It's an anonymous looking rabbit, similar to the year of the year of the tiger for 2022. It was a very malnutrition, scrawny looking tiger, and this rabbit looks very somewhat sickly and evil. And he's got a ledger. He's got a ledger on one hand and a pencil in the other, taking notes. Do as I say or perish.
Exactly. Big Brother is watching you. Now, you did a poll as well, which is quite funny.
Well, it's like, come on, Martin, it's not funny. It's serious. These are serious, serious polls that run on Twitter. And it was, just trying to get an idea as to why people, to get a general overview of why people bought in particularly towards the end of 2022. And it was the options were, they believed in CoreLogic, as John Adams tagged me a while ago on a tweet with regards to the belief, the mainstream believing in CoreLogic. Well, was it, in this case, Tom Brown, was it a belief in CoreLogic? Well, it wasn't really. That was only coming at 11%. The wife made me do it. That was pretty high at 32%. Yeah, wanted security wanted security and not rent, which was I thought that would have been a lot higher than what it was. But FOMO, as listings dropped, was the highest. Yeah, although it was a small sample, but it was sampled nonetheless. But I found it interesting that some people put in there that the wife made me do it. Look, I know four people that bought towards the end of 2022 for that reason. But buy a house, or you can buy yourself a doghouse.
Well, it is interesting because I have these one-to-one conversations with people who are thinking of looking at a particular area and getting some data. Quite often I have husband and wife on the call at the same time. And quite often you see some quite interesting differences of aspiration and behavior between the two, right? And quite often it is the lady of the of the family who's really keen to go get this property, So there is something in that poll, I think, Edwin.
Look, I think you and I could probably write a book, perhaps even an encyclopedia, or perhaps we should become family counselors, marriage counselors. the conversations we have with people. But look, it's interesting. But once you put it all down, once you spell it all out, and you start sort of helping them to take a step back and looking at things logically, and as I say to a lot of people, my job is not necessarily to buy per se, because that's up to the individuals when they want to buy. But my job is to really remove as much emotion away as possible so that they can make more of a reasonable, logical decision. And I can assist them into what we do and the team do is we assist them in obtaining the best price with the better upsides on the other side. So if there is an economic turnaround, if the downtrend, then that can mitigate any potential losses. That's what it is. So if we can take the more emotion you can take away from these transactions, the better you are going to be in position. Hence the reason why we saw all those shenanigans and all the fiasco and all that, you know, and all the crazy shit that went on in 2022 with some of the auctions that Cookie Boy and Power Power putting up on Twitter. It was hilarious. You know, people bidding against themselves, you know, with this fear of missing out. But we're going to see a lot more of that, Martin. I feel, particularly in the first two quarters, if the numbers don't pick up, because they have dropped considerably.
Absolutely. Well, we'll watch that with interest, and it is certainly fascinating to watch how people think about why they're buying and what they're buying and how much they can afford. And sometimes I find them in my one-to-one conversations just asking that extra question, you know, and turning the argument around and saying, what happens if this happened? You know, have you thought about that? Just takes it away from an emotional decision to something which is a little bit more logical, a little bit more secure. And in the current environment, I actually think that going through that process is really, really important, because there's no guarantee that prices are going to rise over the next few months. Interest rates are likely to continue to go up, and therefore, you know, a bit of conservatism and a little bit of being clear about why you're buying and what you're buying and, you know, what the ceiling is it really important?
Look, it is very, very important. This is what a lot of people need to understand also. The mandate that the banks give the valuers is critical. I mean, I learned this, and I've spoken to many valuers over the years, over the course of 27 years, no different to the conversations that you have, Martin. And they, you know, one of the specific mandates is that they need to value a property, or come, you know, particularly when there's all this uncertainty in the mainstream media's narrative is, you know, continual property downturn, is you need to value it as though the property was going to go back on the market within 12 months on. So that 5-7%, extra payment for emotion that you basically have leeway on when property prices are going northward very, very rapidly, is no longer there. As a matter of fact, they become more and more conservative. So there's, you know, they're not making allowances for your emotion on the day just because you want to have it, just because you want you want to live next door to some superstar and you've gone beyond your means, and you get emotionally caught up in that, in the theatrics of the auction, or whether it be an auction or a silent auction. Whatever the marketing strategy may be, if you get caught up in that slipstream, you will get dragged, potentially get dragged, and you will go over Niagara Falls and come down hard. And these are the things that we help and assist, obviously, our clients, and helped and assisted our family members, and, you know, in the conversations that you and I have, the less emotion, the more you can get rid of the smoke and mirrors, bring clarity, and be prepared to walk away. You just got to have your ceiling. You just got to have your limit, and be prepared to walk away. I mean, that's just it's hard, sometimes hard, but most understand it, particularly when you put the numbers in front of them. And look, you just never know with these uncertainties. I mean, I'm not a doctor. I'm not an epidemiologist, but you know, people are talking about long COVID. I mean, whether you believe it's the flu or cold, COVID, long COVID, man-made, transferred from a bat, from a wombat, from a caterpillar, whatever your beliefs may be, you know, the world is forever changing in terms of health. It's getting harder and harder. These are the facts, right? It's getting harder to keep and maintain a healthy lifestyle by the sheer economic policies that the government have brought in, and it's harder to buy, you know, food to sustain yourself. We know, you and I know, that there are families that are doing without in order to make payments of rents of homes. The rental payments have increased from 30% to potentially, you know, 40%, even 60% in some cases that I'm aware of their income. I mean, these are the things that are happening out there. So in terms of living a healthy life, it's getting more and more expensive. So you know, these are the things that people need to take into account. And we're not getting older. We're not getting younger by the day. We're getting older. And there are all these impediments. So obviously, once you start taking all those things out and start looking at things logically, we hope that people make a more rational decision rather than an emotional one. Like these people in Melbourne, Martin, these fizzers, these developers that got conned into believing the gurus of, what was it, the area specialists of Victoria. So Victoria ended up with two auction fizzers like Sydney did.
Yeah, it's quite funny, those. And I'll just make one other point, and that is I've had a couple of conversations over the holidays with people who are looking to buy, and they're looking to save a bit on the costs of property inspection and those sorts of things, as though that's somehow a way to, you know, create an extra $2,000 or $3,000 to be able to put against the property. I'm still amazed that people would buy a property without actually understanding what they're buying. It, you know, goes beyond my understanding. So I had to work quite hard to tell them a few stories as to why it is important to actually know what you're buying.
Look, it is, and even the people that have bought over with the so-called building inspection reports provided by the real estate agents and the by way of the vendor, you know, through by the real estate agents, so-called third-party independent bodies, which is a lot of bullshit. They're in the world of kaka themselves. A lot of people that bought because there's a lot of things, a lot of shenanigans goes on with that. Because you're not going to bite the hand that feeds, as far as I'm concerned. And the hand that feeds a lot of these property inspectors are the real estate agents, and they're not necessarily going to go too hard on inspection reports, one. Secondly, let's get one thing clear. They call it a visual inspection. It's yep. plastered all over the report. Yep. So therefore, if there's some sort of impairment, they're not going to move lounges. They're not going to move lounges or get through holes, particularly when most of these people are fat bastards that can't get through your normal manholes. They can't get through, and they'll tell you, "Oh, I couldn't get in. There was something in the way." And the something in the way is usually a 4 liter paint, you know, four liter tin of paint that couldn't be bothered pushed to the side and getting through the manhole and crawl underneath to see what's really happening on underneath. So it's a visual inspection, and it's limited. They're going to have issues. It's going to be ongoing. And with the cost of construction and renovations, in my view, we're going to see a further increase of anywhere between 20 and 30% this year because of the ongoing supply chain issues that we're going to be facing with China. So we're not going to get back to normal for potentially another 6 months in terms of normality over there in China, for their industry to get back into gear, and then how long is it going to be before we get the goods and the products here? And we're not a big nation, so they're going to be supplying other bigger nations, distributors. We're basically last on their list in terms of getting goods anyway. So these are the issues that people need to mitigate, and by spending that little bit extra at the beginning, that can save themselves tens, if not hundreds of thousands of renovations and repairs, in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you're certainly preaching my gospel, because I believe that people need to do their due diligence, and as you say, can't necessarily just take on trust what the high-level inspection provided by the vendor, the independent inspection, actually says. Now, another interesting article here. This is about the first apartments that are actually going to gain from China's reopening.
This is the narrative, Martin. This is the narrative that the mainstream are pushing, if you notice, over the last few days. And it's all to do around the, obviously, what the WeChat chatters have been telling us, what's happening there in China and how we're going. So we're going to sort of more or less emerge the first story or this story with what the WeChat chatters have to say in order to keep our followers and our viewers ahead of the times. So with the Financial Review and your good friend Nerida Knibsby, all of a sudden saying that, wow, this is it. This is going to China so-called, opening up the borders, opening up the you know, for the people to fly out and for others to fly in. It's going to all of a sudden save the newly built apartment market here in Australia. The second paragraph, it says developers that were keen to sell to offshore buyers could once again jump on a plane to go and market projects. Ray White, chief economist Nerida Connersby, Martin North's good friend, said.
Yeah, it is interesting, isn't it? Very interesting argument there. And it's all going to be happening in the first quarter, of course.
Yeah, it's going to be happening. Look, they just don't understand policy. They really don't understand. They really, and this is why we feel it's very, very important to understand. This is why what we get from our WeChat charterers there in China is critical, and it keeps us in the forefront of, keeps us weeks, if not months, ahead of what the mainstream are reporting here. They just don't get it. Obviously, with that, that's supposed to, what is it supposed to do? What is the point of that? Of that article, other than to try and spur people. Oh shit! The Chinese are coming. That's it. The Chinese are coming. Exactly. Let's jump in the market quickly. Let's start buying off the plane. Just hold back. I mean, further down in that article, they continue to say there would be a lot of project marketers heading over to China now. that they can get over there, Mrs. Kennedy, Martin North's best friend, said on Wednesday, the prices would have begun. Bullshit. We should start to see an impact by the end of the first quarter next year, Martin North's best friend.
No, come on. And it was worth saying, of course, that was before the testing, which is now going to be brought in. So anybody coming in from China has to be tested for COVID before they come. So that's another little dampener on this whole thing.
Yeah, but Martin, what you need to do, right, what you need to do is you need to send Merida the podcast, our last podcast for 2022.
Yeah.
And in that, they're the mainstream media articles that we share, but from our WeChat chatterers there, and what is the current policy? What is the current monetary policy that the equivalent of the RBA have over there, right? And that is to keep money in there. Hence the reason why they've made the banking system, they're pushing local governments, supported by the CCP, are pushing very, very hard for local Chinese to invest locally. Let's not forget, they're still very hard into printing money, so they can't afford to have that money leave the country. Otherwise, it's further demise for the economy. That is my understanding of QE. Would that be correct, or did I miss it all together?
No, I think it's exactly right. And of course, the latest discussion, they've said that they're going to be selectively investing in additional support inside China to help through the transition from the COVID lockdown to the sort of wherever they are now. And I have to say that I think the idea of testing people coming into Australia from China is more political than anything else, because if you think about it, we're letting in boats of people coming on these tours on the cruise lines already, right? With half of them have got COVID on the way in. So it's like, well, you can do it over there, but not over here. I'm not sure it makes a whole lot of sense. But then, of course, Australia is following the US and the UK and other people, so everyone's down the same rabbit hole, as it were, there. But your point is dead right with regard to government stimulus and the way that that's going to be actually locked within China as far as possible to support the economy there. So I'm afraid that people are saying that Chinese buyers will save the Australian market are, I think, barking up the wrong tree. And, of course, here's another one from your friend Larry.
Good old Larry. Good old Larry. Look, this is in the first paragraph, he writes, in deeper pool of Chinese buyers. Sorry, Larry, it ain't going to happen, mate. it really isn't going to happen. But look, he does bring other other points in that article. He does raise other points, and that is expats and people that are holding permanent residency here. We ourselves have been approached by people with as much as, you know, anywhere between $3 and $7 million that they want to bring back into Australia from other parts of Asia. They're currently working abroad. These are expats or your people permanent residents that have left and been working abroad, and they've still got family here. So these are people. So yes, he does bring that to light, which I agree with somewhat, because I've been saying that for God only knows how long, that Australia is the best country in the world. And when there's a shit show going on over in America and Canada, you know, with the geopolitical landscape as well as Europe and everything else, why wouldn't you want to come back to the greatest country in the world? Second to your England and New Zealand, Mark, but in Tasmania, So I do agree with that. But yeah, for this deeper pool of Chinese buyers, no, guys, let's get it right. The current policies in China are one that they're tightening, and they have been tightening the means and ways for people to get money out of China. Even if you're buying off the plane, you're talking deposits of anywhere between $80,000 to $200,000 for the type of properties that mainly Chinese were purchasing and are used to purchasing. They're not used to purchasing $550,000 to $600,000 off the plane apartments in bloody Blacktown or Quakers Hill or further afield. They're not interested in that. They want to be closer to your Chatswoods, your Eppings, your Limfields, your Upper North Shores, your Lower North Shores, and so forth. You know, areas that have been highly marketed over the last 10 years over in China. So when you look at your entry level deposits, are deposits that supersede current monetary policies of people how much they're being allowed to take out, if they can take out any money whatsoever. Look, we've got people that are permanent residents here. We've got a particular client that's permanent resident here that just sold two properties in Beijing, and he can't get that money. And I think he's an Australian citizen, or his wife's an Australian citizen, and he's a permanent resident. Which permanent residency here is a pathway into citizenship anyway, unlike many other countries. So you've got this scenario where they've been trying to get their money from, and they're residing here, currently residing here. They can't get the money out, let alone newcomers, or let alone so-called new investors. Yeah. Let's say they can get the deposit. Let's make the assumption that they do get that deposit out of the country and they buy a property here, Martin. Where the hell are they going to get the rest of the money to settle? And what banking institution is going to lend them here the money to settle 3 years down the track or 2 years down the track? This is bullshit. This is just really hype to push, in my opinion, propaganda to push locals into the local apartment market, which is what they need in order for the stamp duty transactions, the stamp duty, taxes and levies and so forth to basically crank up to fill up the coffers of the state governments.
Mm. And it's interesting, there's about 21,000 high-rise apartments being built, now more than 23,000 being built, so there's more being built now, so they got a big problem because they're not selling any of them, right? So there you go, everybody's got aligned interests, never mind reality. And then of course you put this Twitter up, which I think is quite fun, you know, about the win or lose. On one hand, many believe Australia is about to get a deluge of Chinese tourists and students, banks are going to make it easier to borrow, blah blah blah, but there's a big but, isn't there?
Oh look, there's a big but with this, and the amount of students that are going to come out, it's not going to be in the plane loads that we got previously in previous years before COVID. As I said, the monetary policy, and in that Twitter thread, I put down Dustin Evans' tweet of it's in Chinese, it's not translated, of the equivalent of the RBA governor here over in China. So this is not just anybody saying that they want to encourage local investment and they want to encourage and pushing for the banks to lower the standards so that anybody with a pulse and can put a bit of ink in, even on as we joked around last podcast, where you can even get your pet to guarantee your loan. That's the way it's going over in China. Anybody with a pulse can basically, that's under 65, can basically apply for a loan. They just want to bring in any type of money into that property. So they're not going to let money come out. That's the simple fact. They're not going to let money come out. And I encourage our followers, our viewers to see the posts on Twitter, particularly as our WeChat chatterers from mainland China, share them with us. So unless the current government policies in transferring of money out of China change, it ain't going to happen. And unless the CCP says otherwise, it's really not going to happen. Not until their economy, in terms of the real numbers, they feel that the economy is back on track, which is not going to happen for years.
No, absolutely right. I think that's a very important perspective, everyone. So well done for bringing that to the fore. We should surely move the conversation forward and now talk about the numbers, right? Because the numbers are, the numbers are the numbers.
The numbers are the numbers. And let's see how quickly they bounce back. Obviously, it's a lot of properties got taken off the market. Probably about anywhere between 15 to 20% of homes got taken off the market in Sydney, and which is the key market that we look into the greater Sydney region. And that's going to be interesting to see how many of these come back on the market and how quickly they come back on the market, in what areas. Obviously, to me, that's going to play a big role, a big part as to transaction moving forward. But the narrative that's been played out at the moment as well with this, with COVID and travel from overseas, and there's another MP also calling for for testing for people coming in from Europe, from America, Canada, and further afield in Tasmania, what's it leading to? I mean, we're talking about super bugs and super variants. Are we going into a lockdown? Is that one of the levers? I still think that is potentially one of the levers that could keep the numbers low, listings on market low. But the question is going to be, Martin, if that happens, will we still be allowed to go to Bunnings to open house inspection?
I hope it doesn't get a replay from 2.5-3 years ago, but you wonder. And just going back on the numbers, this is the numbers from the 26th, so that's a 14,458, and then 14,474, that's on the 2nd of January this year for to Sydney. That was just after the Christmas Day. And then if you go back to Melbourne, 23,010 on the 2nd, compared with 23,154 on the 26th. So, Melbourne's hardly moved, really.
Oh, look, everybody wants to get out, but is there any reason? I mean, apart from Daniel Andrews, Robbie Barwick lives there as well. So, he's a good bloke. Robbie's a good bloke. Robbie's a good bloke. I just like to tease him, because he just wants to be Emperor of Victoria. a lot of people, I don't know, I think that Melbourne will crack the 30,000.
Yeah.
Whereas it's going to be a slow grind for Sydney. This is just my view, my observation, my perspective, right? It's my personal. But it's going to be a slow grind, mainly because of the conversations that I've been having with the real estate agents that obviously we talk to because across different areas of Sydney, and a lot of them are looking for that side hustle market because they themselves don't believe that they're going to have the numbers in order to keep them to bring in the incomes to keep their lifestyles either. and keep some offices open. So the industry itself is going to be suffering. So if the industry is going to be suffering, it's because transactions are going to be very, very low. Potentially, we could go back to the same level of transactions of 2021, and God forbid that we go, we drop below 5,000 like we did in 2021 with homes on market on Domain in the Sydney region. I don't think they'll get that low, but it's going to be very a watch and see what happens over the next 3 or 4 weeks.
Absolutely. And in fact, Christopher Joy put out his numbers and showed that prices are continuing to drive down. If he analyzes them, that's a big number. So his view is property prices are further to fall. So I guess we'll watch and wait on that one. Just in terms of Brisbane, it's worth just looking there. So Brisbane, this is on the 2nd of January, 4764 compared with 4774. So hardly anything dropped off. Between the two.
Now, and it's interesting that you mentioned about Christopher George and his numbers and his outlook for further price drops. Mm. And this is where I guess people are gonna make that call. And it goes back to analyzing very granularly the market that you want to go into and looking to see how many numbers are stay on, because in some areas there are still homes that are that will linger on market that unless they get a certain price they're not going to sell. And this is where the retirees, the empty nesters, they're the ones that are going to dictate at least the first quarter in Sydney as to whether or not they come on the market and take that hit or wait it out to see if there's going to be future change down the track, because at the end of the day, they own it outright. They're only, in most cases, they own the properties outright. And the only outgoings are obviously by way of council rates, water rates and maintenance. And also, obviously, and that's going to, in maintenance of the property, is that going to, that's put on the balance of their need to go into downsizing to a nursing home, into other accommodation. And if there's no listings on market, well, then particularly in the areas that they want to live in themselves, in downsizing to a single level. Villa, two-bedroom villa or so forth, or a three-bedroom villa, a smaller residence, are they going to sell? So that, there's a lot that's going to play out, and it's going to be very, very critical, more so 2023 because I said it's going to be very, very prickly, because it's going to, you really have to define and break up that, look at things, like you say, Martin, very, very granular, because each suburb, each neighbourhood is going to have its own little quirky, things and demographics and things, moving around. The chess pieces are going to be moving all over the place.
Yeah, and these averages across Sydney or Melbourne or Brisbane are meaningless, right? Because you've got to look at the local conditions at the postcode or even below postcode level, houses and units behaving differently. And as you say, there's some different imperatives. So some people are choosing to think, well, maybe I can sell now before prices continue to fall and I've locked in some equity, I can do things with that. There are others thinking, well, maybe, if I don't get what I need to get, what I can do is let the property and make an income because the rentals are actually still rising. So there's an interesting dynamic between rental and sale prices as well. So there's a lot to keep an eye on, and you got to go granular to really understand this. You can't talk aggregate averages, I think.
No, definitely not.
Yeah. Now, just in terms of auction sales, not a lot.
No, not a lot, but it's going to. I just put this up, although it'll be interesting to see how many open homes are listed still live, come on live on this on. On Saturday. Saturday morning is going to be, is key always to see, because if you look at the The numbers are open for inspection. So far, there's 2,435 that are currently listed on the market in Sydney in this four auctions. Look, I know it's early days and it's the first auction for the year, but and like I said, it's only in the week, but we're gonna see how many more open homes are up. But to me, it's almost this eerie feeling that in one of my predictions for 2023, I think there's going to be less properties, and we could end up with about 20-25% less properties being sold by way of auction, because people are going to be hesitant to go on the market, and as they are, they don't want to be the laughing stock of the neighbourhood if the properties fail to sell on the day. And they particularly don't really want to disclose to the neighbours what they really want to sell for. Anyway, people are very, very private. So it's going to be an interesting thing. So I know it's the first one, but I'm going to keep a very close eye on that, on how many properties are actually get aside by way of auction. But in relation to auctions, though, unfortunately, one of the predictions that I put out for 2023, at the 18 predictions, one of them is I believe that underquoting is going to be much worse in 2023 than what we saw in the rise of underquoting in 2022 from 2021 and from when the new regulations got brought in, for that matter.
Yeah, well, let's talk about your predictions, right? So your thoughts in terms of what might be going on. I think there are 18 predictions that we can go through.
Yeah, quickly. Domain and real estate will take up more space in the property arena. I think we're a lot closer for domain and real estate to move into like what I call Purple Bricks 2.0 scenario, where domain and real estate actually start eating the industry's lunch and take on somewhat of an agency role, a licensed agency role. Because the revenue for domain and real estate has come down rather considerably over the last 12 months, from $2.4 billion a year in marketing to about $1.8 billion collectively, whereas the commissions are still around anywhere between $13 billion to $15 billion. And they're basically saying, well, you know what? People, when they want to sell a home, they come to our portals. When they want to buy a home, they come to our portals. Why does the real estate industry make $15 billion and we only make $2 billion? And I've said that, been saying this for about 6 years. And back then I said it would be about 5 years before we see domain and real estate take on that role. And I think we're a lot closer, not only because of this, but other industry specialists and in other areas as well, where that noise has being perpetuated because of the questions that the domain's been asking in certain areas. So I feel we're a lot closer. Potentially, we could see that one of the two launch that towards the end of this year, Martin.
Yeah, I think it's certainly very likely with the way that the market is going. And as you say, you know, the value is sitting in commissions. They don't get much of that. They want to get a share of it. So it makes sense. Frankly, they control the markets, don't they? Because they control the platforms.
And we built them.
Yeah, I know.
We built the beast that's going to eat us. So subsequent to that, I feel we're going to see 22. Not only that, but the pain that the industry is going through, and there aren't a lot of transactions overall when you think about the fact that there's 57,000 or so real estate agents in New South Wales, 27,000 of them reside in Sydney. So I feel that there's going to be anywhere between 20,000 and 30,000 selling agents exit the industry this year. Sydney's home sale listings will remain low in the first quarter to first half. What's another one? Elon Musk will list Twitter by the end of the year. That's
you missed over the caravan and tent cities.
Oh yeah, look, caravan and tent cities will be the norm as rental stress increases. Not only, Martin, the distressing thing is that I can really see that because of the rental stress, but the other thing is that you look at what's happening in Lismore after the floods in Lismore. People, since then, how long ago were the floods there in Lismore? And since then, the there are many people, I mean, some ridiculous amount of people still living in their bloody cars and trailers to this day. It's heartbreaking. Again, because there's not enough rentals, and when you see have this climatic issues that we've been having and these floods that we've been having now, in one of my previous predictions, I said that 2023 we'll see Marsden Park, Schofield, and those areas underwater.
Water views.
Exactly. So, but the sad thing about all that is, Martin, is that the how many families and children and pets are displaced and they're going to be without. So this is why caravan and tent cities are going to, well, we're going to start seeing some of that in a lot of areas, unfortunately.
Yeah, and then you mentioned Elon Musk will list Twitter, so it would be funny if it comes back on the market again. And local WeChat chat chatterers will drive property prices back to 2021 figures in parts of Sydney.
They will. That is, as I said, I met with a group of WeChat chatterers before New Year, and look, that's it. It's they're cashed up. They're going to go there because. For no other reason other than they don't feel safe in a lot of other investment arenas, and they feel property is, and they can break their own. They've got no shame. They will go and put turn a three-bedroom house into a six-bedroom house, and with one bathroom into a six-bedroom house with four bathrooms and three kitchens, and they basically don't give a shit. Because at the end of the day, they feel that they're going to be managing it themselves, and they see the need. And a lot of homes, a lot of places have already been doing that. That is how they break the rental ceiling. You break the rental ceiling in a suburb from about $700 a week rent to getting anywhere between $1,200 and $1,300. So this is why they've been preparing themselves. And the biggest push for the local WeChat charters for this is going to be, they feel that the bottom of the market is going to be end of February, March.
Very interesting, yeah. And also more disruption in the real estate industry generally because of lower property transactions, which is what you referred to a moment ago.
Exactly. Mm. Cost of renovate and build, obviously, that'll increase by another 20%. Sure thing. Even our treasurer is just talking about it. I think Dom, Dom Perrottet, that guy that follows us and watches our shows, he must have sent him the link of a previous podcast because we were first came off the rank weeks ago with that. And he said that there's going to be issues. He's talking about supply chain issues, not only into the property industry, the property arena, but also in other industries as well. So it's more pain to come. Things aren't going to get better for industry's not going to get back into 100% productivity there in China for another 6 months.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting because you then went on to say eggs is up.
I reckon eggs are going to hit the $20 a dozen mark.
Mm. Well, you're well placed with your rooster and chickens, right?
Well, that's right. But I know what's happening. I'm not getting. I should be up to 10, 12 eggs a day now. Right. But I'm averaging three. I think I've got to put. There was a show on TV. I can't remember the name of the show, but I've got to put a bit of pressure on the chickens. Put the show on, or maybe show some YouTube videos. Have a play in there in the background in the chicken shed. Chickens being.
I'd get a packet of stuffing and just put it outside. Say, hey, just remember.
Look, they're eating well. They're eating well. Friends and family that have come by and look at them, they ask me if I tell them because some of them look like bloody turkeys more than. Maybe I'm overfeeding them.
I was going to say, maybe you're making their life too good. You know, they're too well fed, they can't be bothered.
Laying eggs, I've got to put a bit more pressure.
Yeah, but you also make a very important point here about pet shelters. And in fact, I was talking to somebody the other day who was actually involved in a couple of pet shelter operations and around the area here. And it's funny because, of course, through COVID, they didn't have any pets in shelters because everybody wanted pets, but now it's completely different. So they're swamped with dogs and cats and other animals because people are unable to afford the costs of feeding them, vet bills, and all the other ancillary costs. So it's complete reversal, and they really don't know what to do now.
No, and the other thing, Martin, is in the in my industry, which I'm absolutely I hang my head in shame being the industry, is that property managers, which the property management arena is what I went into first when I got into real estate, and unfortunately, a lot of property managers have turned their backs and will put any applicant with a pet at the bottom of the pile. It is dreadful. It is, hence the reason why, Dusty and Evan have applied with the RSPCA to become patrons and carers whilst people are looking for accommodation and look after them now that the studio is finished.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is unfortunate. Despite the legislation and in theory,
Everything
accommodation.
works well on theory, in theory.
Yeah, I was going to say accommodation, including for pets, should be okay, but no, in practice, not the case. And just in terms of completing that part of the list, price of secondhand cars will drop by as much as 30 to 50%. Of course, they went up through COVID. Shoplifting up and drug and hydroponic labs
Hydroponic
up.
labs,
Yeah.
yes, marijuana, caca, it will be out. We're going to see more of that, and we're going to see more of that in areas of your Liverpools, those areas, your Hoxton Parks, in bigger homes, and also you're going to see that in the northwest regions, and particularly where in areas where you're going to have your bigger homes. They seem to be these hydroponics seem to be targeting bigger homes, and in areas where property managers aren't active in terms of their periodic inspections. That it's uncanny. They know that. It's almost like they know which areas have the weakest property management type of services, and they'll target those areas.
How interesting. And then the last three are very amusing.
Yes.
Underquoting.
Yeah, that'll rise in Sydney and Melbourne for sure. 100%. I'm convinced of that because as the industry goes into more pain, obviously they will overquote to get the listing and underquote to try and sell it. This is where a lot of the my colleagues in the industry will get themselves into a lot of trouble because they will over promise. In other words, they will say that they'll get a vendor, they'll get them 1.5, they'll convince them to guide it at 1.3 and sell for 1.4 because I call it market forces and price on the day and all this other bullshit. And potentially, and there is precedent where vendors will take them to task and will sue them for the difference because it's all on paper, and this is where the industry will get themselves into a lot of trouble. But they won't be able to help themselves because they want that sale. They want that sale, and they think that underquoting is the way to sell property. And as the market drops, Martin, people will be less reluctant to pay more. It's just natural. Natural science. So they'll over promise and under deliver, and they'll get caught up in all this.
Yeah, absolutely. And certainly, there's always a risk of litigation later if you're not playing the game straight. And some don't, unfortunately. That's just the way the market is, isn't it?
Yeah, and look, and talking about litigation, the statute of limitations to anything that the agents say and do is 6 years. So you got 6 years to basically biting your fingernails, hoping that nobody comes back and sues you.
Yeah, and so again, a reminder, if you're a vendor, get it in writing. Get everything
Yeah.
in writing, right? Don't just take it verbally, get it in writing. And then you also said that the auction numbers will drop by as much as 25%. So the volume is down. Well, we're already seeing that, of course.
Yep, definitely. That's
Yeah.
gonna happen.
And then the last one, Tom Pannis, if he takes up your challenge, he's going to lose the push-up challenge.
Yeah, I'm determined. No, I don't care. That's his favorite gig. I'm determined to beat him in a push-up challenge. Look, he may win. More than likely, will win raising funds because he knows a lot more people in the industry than I do. He's more well connected than what I am. With people with deeper pockets than we have. So he'll beat me in that. But I reckon I'll knock him out in the second round.
Excellent. Well, very, very good, and some very important points there. I will just share this with you. This is Luna, right? So Luna's been asleep the whole of the time while we've been talking. So she's decided that the new year is a bit of an overrated pastime and has just dropped to sleep and is just happily lying there while we're at work, while we're chatting.
Well, I thought it was Luna. Luna was relaxing because our podcasts and our chats are very therapeutic.
Well, that could well be, indeed, yes. She was shooting around the garden earlier on, but has now definitely... Meteor has gone... So I don't know where she's gone, but she's not around at that. Very good, Edwin. Well, thank you very much for the first of the new year and some very important points made there. And I guess to summarise, you know, people need to be cautious. There's a lot of uncertainty out there. Make sure that you do your due diligence. Make sure you don't get carried away with high-level falutin talk from agents or indeed from spruikers. Do the work. And, you know, there's still property out there that's reasonably priced and still makes sense to buy, but there's also a lot of rubbish out there. So you need to separate the sheep from the goats.
Yeah, and also write down the why you want to buy. The why you want to buy, when you want to buy, and what you want to buy. But a lot of people don't know what they want to buy. And a lot of the discussions that we have with our clients at the beginning centers around, you know, what they really want to buy, and you know, and where. You know, last year or 2022, you know, 50% of the people actually bought where they told someone to buy, and the other 50% bought in areas that they didn't imagine that they would be buying.
Yeah. I think the other thing, Edwin, I'd say on that, it's important to separate out the must-haves versus the nice-to-haves, right? Because quite often what you end up with is this great long dirty list of all the things that you want, but you need to recognise you also have to make compromises. Even if you spend $5 million, $10 million, you're going to make compromises. So what is the critical stuff? What is the stuff you've got to have? And what is the stuff you'd like to have? And make sure you don't put the two lists together because it will make it impossible.
Yeah, and that's it. And slow and steady. You know, it's something that you know, taking in, and also now this year, Martin, it's going to be. We need to keep a closer eye on what is happening outside of Australia. You know. Yep. Just as much as what's happening inside of Australia in locally, because it's, you know, there's so much happening. That's why I say it's going to get wackier and it's going to get very, very prickly. You know, and there's going to be, I don't think in a lot of cases we're going to see a lot of the chest beating as well. You know, there's going to be a lot of out of line sales because that's just the nature of this beast at the moment. The seasonalities are gone. You can't sort of say, you know, this happens because, you know, as government changes policies and changes, you know, the geopolitical landscape themselves, that affects construction and the industry, as well. I mean, they make promises when they want to come into government and then they put those promises, by the by, and as I keep on saying, there's just the left and the right wing of the same vulture. So we need to be very aware of the ifs and the whats. But one thing for sure, and I think the awareness that our viewers and our followers have had over these conversations, and also in the last two and a half years, is how the political the political call and pundits have manipulate the property market. One of the main reasons is because 99% of them are property investors themselves.
Yeah, well, I did make a show a couple of days ago talking about the fact that property prices is more about politics than it is about economics, right? And guess what? Who has property, who has influence is all part of it. So very good. Edwin, thank you very much. Appreciate that. We'll do all again next week and have a good week in the meantime.
Likewise, Martin, and all the best to our followers and viewers for 2023.
Yeah, absolutely. See you later. Cheers. Bye.